You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, my fellow Nashville Predators fans, hockey fans, and anyone else who's hanging out with us tonight? This is Chad Minton with Rich Howe, your host of Catfish on Ice, and this is episode 67, a brand new season, season two. Somehow, against all odds, we made it to the second season. I mean, were you rolling the dice on us to make it to a second season, Rich? Be honest.
Yeah, I thought we'd get there that far, but you know, we'd make it to a second season.
All right.
Why not, right?
There's hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there, so why can't we make it to a second season? All right, so exactly. Second season of Catfish and Ice, we are kicking it off, or dropping the puck, I guess is a better word to use there, term. We're really excited here because guess what? Nashville Predators hockey is something we have to react to in this episode. This is the first time in, what, 4 months? 4 months that we get to react to Nashville Predators hockey. There was hockey on the ice. Players were wearing Nashville Predators jerseys in Tampa this past weekend.
We had the development camp, but we, you know, that was...
Yeah. They were playing against each other, though.
They were, but now we've got actual team hockey versus another team. Yes.
It was awesome. And I got to give a lot of credit to Nashville Predators website, the official website, Brooks Bratton, who runs the does all the stuff that keeps us all in check here and keeps us in tune. They put a link out there for all of us normal fans to watch it. And I know some people were kind of like complaining about it, like the resolution wasn't good or the picture. Hey. For on my end, it was like watching a regular game on my phone. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah, I watched a little bit on my phone, too. Yeah, it looked fine to me.
Yeah, it was great. So, it was the Tampa Bay Lightning broadcast. Like, they were – it was an emphasis on the – because they were the ones hosting the Prospect Showcase. But it was a really good broadcast, I got to say. It was really – I watched most of it on Saturday. I had time to watch it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was good to see. So, we're going to react to that. We also have to finish off our season preview series, which we have done now for the past two episodes, and we're going to round out our season preview series on Catfish on Ice with the goaltenders. And if you've been a Predators fan for any more than a year, you know how important the goaltenders are to this franchise.
My favorite topic.
Yeah.
Talking about the goaltenders.
And, I mean, it's going to have to carry the team again this year, most likely. So we're going to preview that. And then guess what, everyone? We have a new segment being premiered tonight on episode 67, and that is our main man, Kyle Perkins, his own segment.
Yep.
Perks Picks. And as we get into the season, it's premiering tonight, but as we get through the season, every week he's going to give us our top picks of what happened that week in Nashville Predators hockey, whether it's the games, whether it's they won, they lost, which players stood out. We don't know yet. We're going to go through that. It's going to be fun to watch. Yeah, he is premiering his segment tonight. He's going to join us later on in the episode. You're going to have to download the episode tomorrow if you're watching the stream right now to really see what that segment's all about. So go do that. Until then, let's get into it. Of course, we are brought to you by DraftKings. We are part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Let's get into it right now with our preview series. Let's finish previewing the full Predators roster. We've already done the defensemen. We've already done the forwards. And now we're getting to the goaltenders. And what better way to start this, obviously, with UC Saros.
Yes.
And there's a lot of talk.
Real quick, our friend Lindsay's on here already. She's here for the goaltender talk because she's a huge David Riddick fan. We'll be talking about him next.
We're about to get into some David Riddick for sure. Yep. And also, Lindsay is in the podcast, Fantasy Hockey League, as well. Real quick, we have one more spot available in that podcast league. So if you're watching the stream right now, shoot us a DM. We might have one more spot available. We'll find out. We have that one spot. We'll let you know if the spot's available or not. But that league's going to be fun. Lindsay's in there. Yep. I feel like Lindsay's going to crush all of us in that league. But we'll find out. All right. Yep. So UC Saros, he is probably the one reason why anyone would think the Preds might be able to make the playoffs this year. Is that me being a little bit too overly critical? Or do you think that has some merit to it, Rich?
You are not being overly critical. You're absolutely correct, because that is exactly what happened last year. Had it not been for UC Saros, they wouldn't have had a prayer. They wouldn't have even sniffed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Think back about how many games he kept them in it. And even the games that they wound up losing, he stood on his head and was just played incredible. So
Even in the early part of the season when they were losing games, there were games where Saros, it was almost like, what are we doing here? Like, we're not giving this guy any chance to put together a good game. And so it finally started resulting in wins for him. And he went into this level where people were having realistic discussions about him being in the Vezina Trophy conversation.
Absolutely.
And there were a lot of people that were ticked off, mostly in Nashville area, about him not even getting a nomination for the Vezina. Yeah.
And that's a crime for how he played.
Yeah.
I mean, had he not been injured, I think he would have got a lot more votes. But
he's also in the top conversation right now, preseason-wise, of being in that conversation for a Vezina again. So let's look. He's entering his sixth in an NHL season, his second as a projected number one starter. So really, he is still so early in his NHL career, and a lot of people kind of forget that because he's been around for so long, and he's been backing up Pecorine for so long that people forget that. He's still very young and new to this as well. We think about the Predators right now as a whole as being a very young team, as being a very youthful team, as you will. And Saros still kind of fits into that. Let's be honest here, because he's entering his second season as the number one starter.
Yeah,
and last season he entered the season as the starter, but you still had Pecorine hanging around there. And there were still a lot of people who thought Pecorine should be the starter. So he's actually entering his first season as being the undisputed number one starter for the Preds. Did.
Yeah, you're right. And last season, Pecorine stepped in a few times. Obviously, when Saros was hurt, he played like, I don't know, was it like five or six games in a row and just kept the ship afloat. And
yeah.
He still did well, but you know, Saros, man, once he
there's also all those times in the past where Saros came in relief of Pecorine in playoff games. It happened in the Stars series. It even happened against the Penguins in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Saros has seen the bright lights. He's not going to be shied away from this moment. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about his confidence level at all. What I'm worried about is the team in front of him. Can they buck up defensively? Can they protect their goaltender? Can they make it to where he has a chance to do what he did towards the end of last season? But a goaltender can only do so much.
You're absolutely right. And I think I was actually thinking about it earlier today. So we've talked about how, you know, Saros gets off to bad starts to the season or whatever. But if you really realistically look at it, it's kind of on the team in front of him. I mean, that happened. It happened the season when it paused because of COVID. Pecorine actually got off to a bad start, but that was because of the team in front of him was not that great.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
And then for the most part, you know, they had their moments, but then last season with the shortened season, they did not get off to a good start. they eventually caught on, which, and that's what we're hoping, they just carry that momentum.
So I got some, I got some career numbers for Soros just to catch up everyone, catch up myself, catch up Rich as well. Career numbers, pretty much Soros's career numbers are what you want in a franchise goaltender. They really are. I mean, in his full body of work, he is right where you want a franchise goaltender to be. A 92 save percentage, 2.5 goals against average. That's right on par with where you're going to see most of your great career goaltenders. You go and look at Hockey Reference, or you look at any NHL website, and you look at career numbers for goaltenders. All the great ones, they're around that number.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Soros has a much smaller sample size, so you gotta look at that. But I'm saying, where he's at right now in his career, he is on that trajectory of being a franchise goaltender. Now he has to prove it. Now the chips are on the table. He is the primary starting franchise goaltender. He got the contract. He's there. He's here for at least the next 4 years, unless he becomes trade bait. But you can't predict that right now. In the immediate future, he is the goaltender that's going to have to carry this team farther than what any of us are predicting this team to go, which is probably miss the playoffs.
Yes. And he's going to also have to play the most games of his career so far.
Easily.
Yeah.
Barring any injuries, he's going to be right up there. So I wrote this down as well. So when Pecorine was really the team's workhorse, and he was carrying this team, even when Soros was behind him, but even before Soros got here, Rene was starting 50, 60 plus games per year.
He was
the workhorse, and this team has always been a goaltender centric team, mainly because of Pecorine. And so you look at Pecorine when he was in his heyday. I mean, he was 55 or more starts for pretty much every season he started. He even had a season in 2011-12 where he started over 70 games.
That's insane.
In a season. Yes.
And
so,
if you look at Soros, the most he's ever started, 2019-20 season, 40 games. That's the most he's ever played.
Well, games played, but that's kind of related. His most starts in a season – are even lower than that. Like, I mean, he's going to shatter.
Yes, you're right. 35 last season. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right.
You're good. He's going to shatter his career high this year. Barring injury, he's going to be the workhorse. And so he has to keep track with these career numbers that he's already put out there, and I think we'll be fine. The problem we have right now is – he's going to have a lot of mistakes in front of him. And that's just the way it goes when you're going young, when you're going with an inexperienced roster, and you are going through this rebuild. You're going to have a lot of mistakes. And Soros is going to have to make some really crazy critical saves and have some games where, I mean, I'm sorry, he defies all logic and he carries the team to a victory when probably the team didn't have any business winning that game. And I feel like that's kind of the season we're going into right now.
I agree with that. The silver lining is, you know, they had young players step in last season. You know, there was a stretch when Victor Arvidsson was hurt. He's gone now. Kalle Yarncroke's gone. I don't remember him being injured at all last season, but Soros has had young guys in front of him. And hopefully they can just, like I said, carry on just like it was the second half of last season.
They're going to have to carry it over for sure.
Definitely.
And also, when it comes to Soros, another thing about him is he's got more pressure on him now than he's ever had. In his past, he still had Rene there as, I don't want to say a safety net, but just kind of like he was there. Like you had a 1A and you had a 1B.
Yep.
So if things went really sour with one of them, you had the other hanging around. And so now Saros is the number. There's no dispute. There's no goaltender battle in training camp. Nothing like that. It's Saros. Now, let's go ahead and segue now. Perfect segue to David Riddick. Lindsay, yes. I hope you're listening now.
Big save,
Don't
Dave.
Don't get mad at us what we say, but we have big save, Dave. And guess what? The Predators went out over this offseason and checked off a big part off their checklist, which was getting a quality, trusted, veteran backup goaltender. And that's what they did with David Riddick.
They did.
Now, here's the thing about David Riddick for me. I feel like he can definitely be a goaltender who can come in and give you spot starts when you need them, because I don't like the thought of Saros having to start 60-plus games. No, I actually don't like that thought at all, because it's not good on a goaltender to have to start that many games, and I don't feel good about it. So David Riddick has also some pressure on him, to a lesser degree, but in my mind, still pressure to show the coaching staff and show the team that when he starts, he's not a liability. He can also carry the team to victory. He can also do the things that he needs to do as a goaltender to where you don't have to start Saros every single game, because you know you have a quality goaltender backing him up, and that would be David Riddick. How do you feel about it, Rich?
I agree 100%. Lindsay said Riddick will give you 25 plus games easy. That's good news. I'm not going to lie.
That would be great. I would sign up for that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. He wasn't the first choice when we were talking about this for a backup goaltender. I was looking more for like Yaroslav Halak or Omark or one of those guys. But looking at his numbers, I mean, he looks good. Lindsay's watched, obviously, him more than we have. She says that he's good to go, and I think that's awesome. I would really like to see him step into a kind of a 1A, 1B, not taking out, trying to take over the starter role, but just having that confidence that he can step up and you can always count on him no matter what, you know, when Saros can't play.
So here's how I feel about Riddick. Riddick's in a spot in his career, in his own personal career, where he's trying to show that he actually wants to be a starter somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's a direct path for him to be a starter, a full-time starter here for the Predators.
Yeah.
He's kind of in an audition role here with the Predators. Let's be honest here. And so if he goes out here and he's just amazing and just really showing out in his backup role, then other teams are going to be interested in him. And we know what's going on with the Predators right now when it comes to their goaltenders situation. And that's why we're previewing it right now. You have Connor Ingram, who's down in Milwaukee, who everyone wants to see what he's going to do in Milwaukee right now, because his last full season in the AHL, he was by far, no questions about it, the best goaltender in the AHL. So and of course, you've got our 11th overall pick from 2020, Yaroslav Askarov, who is also out there. So there's a lot of uncertainty and competition when it comes to Nashville goaltenders. And so if you're David Riddick, he's trying to show, hey, I'm here. I might be a backup right now, but there's another team who needs to make me their starter. And so I have a lot of faith in him right now.
Yeah, I do too. I'm looking at his numbers. His 2018-19 season, he had 42 games started, 27 wins and 9 losses. That's pretty strong. So
yeah.
And then the next season, he actually started 48 games. So
yeah, for Calgary,
definitely appears that he's got it in him. So
he definitely has it in him, and I think he's a quality backup for right now. And we'll see how the season goes. You never know what injuries are going to come up. You never know what's going to happen. And so I think the Predators did a really good job. I think David Poile did a really good job of solidifying that important spot on your roster, which is having a quality backup goaltender.
Yep.
And so I think that's what David Riddick is.
Yep.
I agree. I feel good about it.
I do too.
I'll be interested to see how the starts are divvied up. And I mean, you would obviously already expect Riddick to start on back-to-backs, and there's over 10 back-to-backs on the schedule this season. So obviously he's going to get more starts than that, but I just want to see how much they divvy up the starts between Saros and Riddick, and how much confidence they really have in Riddick. And we'll see how it goes. We'll find out in the first 10 or 20 games how each goaltender is playing, how the team in front of them is playing, how the team is doing. And then we'll kind of see pretty quick kind of what the coaching staff wants to do. And so let's go down to Milwaukee. Go ahead, Rich.
I was just going to say real fast, like, and it also, you know, the younger guys that are coming in, there are some of those guys who have – there's big expectations on them as well, like Carrier and Tanner Janot, those guys. They're going to need to step up as well and you know, protect the net. Whoever's in it, Riddick or Saros, they need to step up and protect it. So,
yep, for sure. Let's go down to the AHL here, because let's talk about Connor Ingram. We just talked about him a little bit, and we can't overlook Connor Ingram, because he is the type of goaltender where – if he is just – let's just say that either Saros or Riddick are struggling badly, or an injury happens or something happens, Ingram's right there. And he – a lot of people are already kind of like – before Riddick was signed, a lot of people are already thinking that Ingram could be the backup. And I was always on the side of, I want to see him in Milwaukee for another season.
For a little longer.
I would like to get one more full season in Milwaukee out of him. And so it looks like that's what's going to happen. And again, that's why I think the David Riddick move is such a good move, because you're giving Connor Ingram another season to develop in Milwaukee for a really good team. And so I'm really, very, very intrigued to see what Connor Ingram can do for a full season again with Milwaukee, looking at what he did in his last season for the Admirals in 2019-20.
Yep. He will, he will definitely be the person. If something happens, he'll be called up for sure.
Those were video game numbers he put up for the Admirals the last time he was playing full time.
Yeah.
And so all
they,
eyes
they
are
were well
on
their way to winning the championship. Had they not shortened the AHL, stopped the season, they would have definitely won the AHL championship.
Yep. And then let's talk. We're about to really get into the rookie camp this past weekend in the Prospect Showcase. But we're talking about goaltenders here, so I definitely want to get into Devin Cooley as well, because I feel like he's really, really done really well this offseason to improve his stock in this organization. He had a really good development camp, and then he followed it up this past weekend with some really, really strong saves. And he's made a really good case for himself to be the backup goaltender in Milwaukee and get plenty of starts this season on the AHL level.
Yeah, I think so too. He was actually, I was looking on Elite Prospects. They have him in Milwaukee for this upcoming season.
Yeah.
So last season he was with the Florida Everblades, played 22 games for them, and then two games for the Chicago Wolves, which was the Milwaukee Admirals, since they didn't have the season. That's who they were playing for. So
He didn't get a lot of time.
I think he's going to be the second guy backing up Connor Ingram.
Yep. Definitely. And so that's kind of the pecking order you have right now with the Predators goaltender system, because Iroslav Askarov is still very much kind of in the distant future. And so as much hype as he has right now, he's far off. So if we're thinking short-term future right now, he really can't come into the equation right now. And so that's why David Riddick, again, and Lindsay, who is a huge fan of David Riddick and also is so kind to interact with our podcast all the time, and we appreciate her so much. Just speaking to her, that's why I'm so happy about having him in Nashville, is because we need someone like him who can be a veteran press locker room. He's a classy player. He's going to be great for the team. I do feel really good about him coming in and starting behind Saros. And honestly, what I hope for Riddick is that he can put together a strong case for himself to get a new gig somewhere else, possibly where he could be a starter again. That's kind of what I hope for Riddick, because I don't know if there's a good pathway for him here in Nashville to get the role that he wants to get, which is to be a starter. And so
I agree with that.
Yeah. So I'm happy to have him, though.
Star off, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Definitely. And it's like we said before, it's good that we have someone who's watched him play before and can attest to how well he plays. So that's a big help.
Yep. Absolutely. Awesome. And so that's going to wrap up our season preview series. Go back and listen to our last two episodes to catch out our preview of the forwards and the defensemen. We need a full preview of the entire roster and kind of let you know how we feel about it. It's a roster that's very hard to predict right now. Let me tell you, there's been so much that's happened. And so we kind of try to break it down. And so the goaltenders wraps up our preview series. So go back and listen to previous episodes. Let's get into our next segment of Catfish and Ice, episode 67, season two.
Season two.
Brand new season. Just like awesome. The Preds are about to start a new season. We have so hockey close. Back. And so it's time to so react to some actual hockey.
Yep.
We haven't done that in 4 months. We haven't done that since the Preds got knocked out by the Hurricanes. And so we have this prospect showcase going on down here in Tampa. You've got the Preds, you've got the Panthers, you've got the Lightning, and you've got the Hurricanes. Now, the Predators have not played the Hurricanes yet. They will play them tomorrow. On Tuesday morning. So if you're listening to the podcast the next day, then it's going on right now probably, actually. But so the Preds played this past weekend down in Tampa. The prospects did. And it was, for me, it was highly anticipated. Like, I could not wait to see all these prospects we've been talking so much about over the offseason actually play against other competition, you know. And so, of course, Philip Tomasino headlines that. And he didn't disappoint at all.
Yeah. No,
I think
a goal in each game. Yeah. That's good.
For anyone who didn't know why Philip Tomasino gets all this hype, if they watched him play this weekend, their answer is they know why now. They know why now. I mean, he looked so comfortable on the ice. He looked crisp. He looked like he was. It almost looked like he was. Almost, it was almost not fair for him to be out there. Is what I got out of it. Awesome. He looked that comfortable out there, and he got two goals. He scored the first goal of the entire weekend for the Predators, and then he got a big goal that was shared across social media on the Predators' social media account, where you saw a lot of chaos in front of the net. He found the loose puck and he buried it.
I saw that one.
And one thing we already kind of knew this, but we're seeing it more and more. Tomasino just knows what to do when he gets the puck in the right spot. Like, he doesn't second guess himself. He just fires it. He knows how to beat goaltenders. And he's just like, he's just a very smart player out there. So that's kind of what I got out of it this weekend. Reinforced it.
Yeah. The seasons when he played in Canada, I mean, he was like a man among boys. He scored like an insane amount of goals. And, I think he's ready. I think he's really making a case for himself.
This past shortened season in the AHL for the Chicago Wolves, I mean, he put up crazy efficient numbers.
Yep.
Numbers you don't see very often at the AHL. Even at the AHL level, you don't see it very often. Yeah. And so he's just on that – he's on that track. He's really on that track where, I mean, it's there for the taking for him to earn a starting spot.
I think
on opening night against the Kraken. Like, he's right there.
Yeah.
Coaches know it. Coaches see him. They know who he is. I mean, he's going to have a really, really bad camp, training camp, where coaches see some kind of type of red flag where I don't see how he doesn't get the starting lineup.
I just don't see that happening. He is – like, I remember before last season he was talking about, like, he wanted to be on a roster like last year. Like, that's all he's worked for. He wants to be on this team.
So you don't see him. You don't see him in the starting lineup on opening night?
I don't know. It's so hard to just pick who's even going to be in the starting lineup.
Well, I'm not asking you how you feel.
I know.
I'm asking you what you think the coaches are going to do.
I would say no. I would say no. Not yet.
I feel that way too. I'm kind of leaning that way as well.
But like when he is ready, who are you gonna, you know, where's he gonna play? Who's he gonna play with? That's the big, huge question that we always talk about. Huge decision for Hines to where to slot him in and who's not going to get the play. So I don't know.
Very good point. We've talked about it in the past. We've talked about it so much on this damn podcast about where do you put him. But if you have a player of his skill level, you find room.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about it.
Yeah,
you find room.
I think if he gets into camp, he's going to be hurting somebody's feelings because they're going to look at him. And they're going to be like, okay, he's doing better than player X, Y, or Z. Yeah. So, you know.
And if you have to ruffle some feathers and if you have to tick some people off, then so be it. But that's what a head coach does. You have to make the right decision for the team. And the reason why I feel like I'm kind of with you, Rich, I don't think he's going to be a starter right away. Hope I'm wrong. Me personally speaking, I would love for him to start. But I'm right there with you. I feel like he's not going to start right away because I feel like John Hines is going to go the safe route. He's going to go the veteran route to some degree. And Nick Cousins is actually a player that I look at that takes a roster spot away from Philip Tomasino.
I agree with that as well. Yeah. He's the chief agitator on the team.
He's the first player I look at that kind of takes up a spot ahead of Tomasino in the starting lineup.
Yeah, him or I hate to say it, I know they just traded for him, but maybe Cody Glass. It just depends on how he performs.
Yeah, I think Cody Glass is in.
Yeah, I do too.
You could also say that maybe those two players will battle. Maybe there's a healthy scratch involved, but I will be really upset, actually, if they healthy scratch Tomasino.
Yeah, that would
be. He either needs to be playing for Milwaukee or he needs to be playing on the Predators. If they waste him on the bench, I will be.
That would not be good. Yeah, that would be horrible. We definitely don't want to see that.
And Cody Glass has all this upside. People are excited about him. So, as you just alluded to, Rich, what do you do with all these players? Like, I mean, it's a good problem to have, but it's also you got to make sure you make the right decision. And that's a tough decision to have.
Yeah, and there's players that we like a whole lot that are probably going to get left out as well.
Well, you have the Hurd line, which everyone feels like that's solidified. So you can't touch that, right? So it's kind of comes down to that third line. It really does.
Yeah. So I'm looking at Rocco Grimaldi. I don't know.
Rocco Grimaldi, I have a hard time thinking that he gets in the lineup. But let's get back in. We're getting off the tracks a little bit here.
We are. We're so excited about the season.
When you talk about Philip Tomasino, it gets you off the tracks because you try to find room for him on the lineup. But, yes, he had a really, really big weekend. He lived up to the hype. He did what he had to do. So, great job by him as well. But let's talk about Igor Afanasyev as well. Had a really strong weekend so far. He had
Chad's
an assist.
Favorite prospect.
He is my favorite prospect.
He is.
He had a really strong assist to Tomasino. He scored a goal. He's doing good things. He looked really good out there as well. He looked very comfortable. What stands out to me from this past weekend with Afanasyev is his skating. He is powerful.
Yeah.
He skates into the zones with so much power. It's like, please stop him. Please do something to keep him from doing what he wants to do. And then once he can get that shot off, I mean, you want to see a little bit more accuracy out of this shot. I think that's going to come the more he gets comfortable. The guy still never played in the AHL. He's got very limited time in the KHL. So,
But I haven't watched a lot of KHL, but I just imagine it being really rough.
It's a very tough league.
I would think maybe tougher than the AHL. I don't know.
If
that
you can play in the KHL, then you're right. It's two different styles, though.
It is
KHL and NHL, two different styles, but they're both very, very competitive. And so I think it's going to be an easy transition for him in the AHL. Yeah. I expect him to flourish down there. Yeah. I really do. But the thing about Afanasyev is I want to see him really put together a full season in Milwaukee to really show that, okay, he's definitely next up, like past this season. He's next up to get in the NHL. And so he had a really he had a good weekend. There was nothing he did to make you think otherwise. Like, so I felt good about what I saw out of him. Like I said, a strong skater, a great shot. That shot's going to get more and more accurate. He's going to get more and more comfortable. I expect him to possibly be the leading point point getter on the Admirals this upcoming season, because he does it in both ends. He scores goals. He piles up assists as well. He knows how to be in the right spot when he needs to be in the right spot to score goals for his team. So he's going to have a very productive year.
Yeah. It's going to be good to have him in the AHL, because, like, he's played in the KHL and, like, we keep up with him from a distance. But now that he'll be here, we can kind of, like, keep more of a more better track of what's going on with him and stuff. So it's exciting. I can't wait till he eventually is playing for the Predators. That's going to be awesome.
I mean, so the starting lines for the prospect showcase was pretty interesting. So they had Tomasino they had Tomasino up there, of course. They have they had Afanasyev. They had Zachary LaRue up there. The power play unit was really interesting as well. You got Tomasino, Afanasyev, Zachary LaRue, Zach Solo, Cole Smith, Tommy Novak, David Ferentz. They were all out there on the power play. And they lost to Tampa Bay in the first game. And it was a close game there till the end.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, it just came down to defensive breakdowns. There was plenty of offense. There was plenty of chances to score on both ends. Again, I thought Devin Cooley and Tomas Vomachka played strong games in net. I don't think it was anything they did wrong. But the Preds did lose the first game against Tampa on Saturday, 5-2. You got goals from Tomasino and Cole Smith. Cole Smith had a really, really good goal on a wrister.
That's awesome.
Broke out in the zone. It was a 2-on-1, and he could have passed it, and instead he decided to shoot. And I know fans love that. Fans always want you to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that goaltender had no chance. He just put it right over his shoulder and put it in the net. A very accurate shot, very good looking. But made it 3-2. So they hung around, but there were a lot of defensive breakdowns this past weekend. And those are things that, they bother you, but they're going to work on those things.
Oh,
yeah. And I think it was Jeremy Gover who put it on Twitter, basically saying, a lot of your defensemen that play in this showcase, they're a ways away from being on the NHL level, absolutely. Outside of David Ferentz.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, so now they know, that's what these showcases are for, to tell them what they need to work on. So now they got their homework assignment.
Yeah, you can't focus on the final scores that much. Now, I will say, they gave up 8 goals to the Florida Panthers in the second game.
They did. I saw
that's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, I got to watch a little bit of it. When I was watching, it was 5-2, and the Predators scored 2 really quick goals, made it 5-4, and then I had to stop watching. So, but then I saw the final score, and I was kind of like, oof.
Yeah, it was 8-5. I mean, it's sloppy. I mean, these players haven't played with each other ever, hardly.
Yeah.
So you kind of like overlook that a little bit. At least I do. Because, I mean, these players have never played with each other for the most part. And most of the time, it's going to be the defensive part of the game that's going to lack. And so that's kind of why you see these high scores. But 8 goals still looks pretty bad. But either way, I thought we saw some good things from the showcase. And we still have one more game against the Hurricanes. We'll see how they do. Again, the biggest thing you wanted to see was, how does Tomasino look? How does Afanasyev look? Let's talk about Zachary LaRue. I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, this is his first action. I mean, I don't think he necessarily stood out and was like a leader necessarily that just like was like, oh my God, we can't get enough of this guy. But it was also his first action. And he's even for him, this is a big stage. This is a big moment for him.
It is.
And so I don't think he looked horrible. I just don't think he stood out a lot either. He's definitely an aggressive style player. Like, I mean, he gets in there and he makes things happen. And
well, I think like before the development camp, I don't think he played for like a few months is what he said, I believe. So, you know, he's getting in there. But I will tell you, like, Predators fans are super high on Zachary LaRue. Like, we love him. I mean, everybody's like, get him developed as soon as you can because we want him playing. So maybe they'll put him on the fast track or something when we'll get him in there sooner than normal.
One more prospect I don't want to overlook that out of the weekend who I thought looked really good and looked really comfortable out there was Juuso Parsonen.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, he came over from Finland. Yeah. He's playing over in Finland right now. And he came over to play in this, participate in this. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. And his skating, dare I say, looked like Roman Josi a couple times. I mean,
I like it.
That's what I saw out of Juuso Parsonen. He was skating into that zone. He was gliding. I mean, he was that's what I like to say, gliding. He's just like moving. And he a couple times he brought it around the net. He was setting things up. That's what Roman Josi does that on the regular.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw all the time. When I caught Parsonen, he was doing those types of things. So it was really cool to see him in there as well. He's another prospect that's just really, really high up there as far as potential.
Yeah, our friend Kyle Perkins, who we're going to be talking to in a little bit, is really high on him and said he was watching him play and said he looked amazing. So that's awesome. It's good to have those guys in the pipeline, man. We need them. We're definitely going to need them. Very cool.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, so the rookie camp was fun to see. It was awesome to finally have some hockey on the ice and for us to react to that. And guess what? We have preseason hockey coming up. Like
we do.
Very soon. Training camp
starts on Wednesday.
Yep, which is like less than 48 hours from right now, which is amazing. And also, I mean, it's going to come really quick. Like we have Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, it will. It's, you know, training camp's on Wednesday, and then the first doubleheader exhibition games are on Sunday. So,
we get to play those Florida Panthers again. And so, so it's going to be – the training camp roster is actually projected to be released on Wednesday, I believe, as well.
Yeah, I think I saw that, yeah.
And so we'll get to see exactly who's coming to training camp. And I know there's a little bit of uncertainty on that. We'll have to see who out of this prospect showcase, which players actually get invited to training camp. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, we can kind of guess on a few, but, you know, just –
You know what else is interesting, though, Rich?
What's up?
We have NFL football going on right now, and we just watched week two. Week two was insane. There were so many comebacks.
I watched the end of the Titans game, man. They flipped over. I can't get those games up here. And
So the Titans coming back and winning really made me feel like I was watching the Predators because that's what the Predators like to do.
Yep.
And so guess what? We are presented by DraftKings, and there's another really good offer for you going on right now with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. We just watched week two. We're going into week three of the NFL season. DraftKings is the official betting partner of the NFL. And we're going to kick off another action-packed week with DraftKings for new customers. You can win $150 in free bets right now. All you got to do is bet $1 on any NFL game. That's all you got to do. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets. When you place a $1 bet on any football game, that's promo code THPN. This week at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official betting partner of the NFL, must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. New customers only, a minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana 1-800-9 with it. So,
free money.
The NFL bets keep coming. So if you haven't gotten on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, we have this awesome promo code, THPN, for all of our awesome listeners to use right now. So go get the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and do that for week three of NFL action. Yeah, the Titans really put me through a hard time on Sunday, but they won. I didn't think they were going to win. I didn't think there was any chance in hell they were going to win, but they did. Yeah. So
you can thank Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry. I can kind of draw a comparison here. Almost like last season when it's like you can thank UC Soros for the Predators winning. Yep. That's kind of what happened on Sunday with the Titans. You can thank Derrick Henry. There were some other good things that happened as well. But yeah, Derrick Henry was just a monster.
What's the Titans kicker's name? What's his name?
I don't know, because they signed him off the street, basically.
Okay, okay. So I was sitting there. I was talking to my wife, and I was like,
Bullock.
That's right. Yeah, Bullock. I was talking to my wife, and I was like, all right, if this guy does not hit this field goal, he will not be able to show his face in Nashville ever if he misses this. And he nailed it, so it was awesome.
If he would have missed it, honestly, he would have joined like the 20 other Titans kickers who have missed field goals like that. Yeah. So he actually would blend in. It wouldn't even be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But
nobody recognized him.
Yeah. It was a big win, though, for the Titans. It was awesome. It was good. All right. So guess what? Episode 67 is not over, because guess what? We are debuting a new segment on the podcast. It's going to be a weekly segment on the podcast every Monday. Kyle Perkins is going to join us and do his Perks Picks. It's going to be the biggest things that stood out from the Predators that week. We are starting it this week in episode 67 with his top picks from the rookie camp, which happened this past weekend, what we just talked about. So stay tuned for that. If you're watching the stream right now, you're going to have to go download the podcast tomorrow. It will be available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, all the main podcast platforms. So go do that. It will also be on our social media at Catfish Ice on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So make sure you go do that if you're watching the stream right now. Until then, we'll see you on the other side of the break. This is Chad Mint with Rich Howe. This is episode 67 of Catfish and Ice. All right, and we're back on episode 67 of Catfish on Ice. We appreciate you sticking around with us and listening as we're getting closer and closer to the Nashville Predators season. We've already seen the rookie camp. We just talked about that. We opened up and finished up our Nashville Predators season pre-series talking about the goaltenders. But we are really pumped up and amped up right now because we got a new segment starting. Weekly segment on episode 67, and that is Perks Picks, and that is Kyle Perkins, who's going to be joining us pre-week. This guy is the man. He knows what he's talking about. He puts out awesome memes. He's hilarious. Go follow him at KPerk86. If you're not following him, you're doing something wrong, so go follow him. And he's joining us every week on our podcast to give us picks on what stood out from the Nashville Predators. As we get games on, we're going to see a lot of action on the ice. But guess what? We just saw action this past weekend with the rookie camp and the prospect showcase. And so, Kyle, how are you doing tonight, man?
Doing great. Heat's kind of laid off up here in Kentucky. So, it's been awful nice the last day or two.
Yeah. It has been nice.
So the heat's laid off, and that has you ready for this this episode, right?
Oh, it's hockey weather. It's hockey weather.
It's hockey weather, yes. A lot of people say it's football weather, but really it's hockey weather.
Nah, football's it's okay, but yeah, we'll go with hockey.
Yeah, there you go. It's hockey weather. All right, so we got Perks Picks debuting for episode 67. Kyle's going to get us started here. He's going to give us his picks on what stood out from the rookie camp this past weekend in the prospect showcase.
Okay, well, this week I have six things that I've wrote down that kind of stood out to me. And we're going to start off with the bad news.
I think I know where you're going. Yes.
It's not just the Preds defense. Everybody's defense is pretty bad. But
yeah.
Fred's prospect defense has looked pretty rough in general. But then again, they've been together for 2 or 3 days, and they haven't really got anything really going. One thing I really did notice, though, is David Ferentz. David Ferentz looks amazing. And I was talking to one of my friends about it either today or yesterday, one that it looked like he was just a little bit overzealous with his passing. And yeah. He brought up the point that a lot of these guys are coming from junior where they've never really had a defenseman who could pass like that. Ooh. That
that's a good
maybe
point.
He's
good
doing point. It correctly and they're not receiving it correctly. And I believe that may be more the case than what I was thinking. Ferentz looks polished. For his age, he looks really good. Wouldn't really surprise me to see him be a top line guy in Milwaukee this year at maybe get a game or two or three up, depending on how the season goes. Y'all seen on the defensive end?
Well, so Kyle, I love that pick, and I always take the bad news before I take the good news in my life. Yep. Whenever someone walks up to me and says, "Do you want the good news or the bad news first?" I always say, I'll take the bad news first. I always want to get that part out of the way. So let's get the bad part out of the way first, Kyle, with your first picks here. And the defense was really shaky. It was. And we talked about it earlier in episode 67. What I saw was, and what I kind of see out of it is, these players have never played with each other. There's not a lot of chemistry out there. If you see any type of bad play in these types of games, it's probably going to be on the defensive side of things. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw. I saw in front of the net, there was just a lot of poor play. And even Milwaukee Admirals head coach Carl Taylor, who's kind of the head coach of this whole deal in the prospect showcase, he basically said the same thing. He basically said that the net front presence was poor. They had a hard time clearing the puck out of the net. And those are the kind of mistakes you're going to probably see in these types of games. And so, the defense was definitely shaky, as Kyle said, for sure.
But what you said about David Ferentz is absolutely correct. I remember watching him in the two games he played last season. I was shocked that he didn't get to play longer in more games. I really like him a lot. So,
Rich, there's two words for that, and that's Ben Harper.
I know. That's the bad news. Those are the bad news words. Yeah.
Well, I said when I started this, it was the good, the bad, and the Ben Harper.
Now, would I say that to Ben Harper's face? No.
No, because he would probably kill you with that stick he walks around with.
No, I'm definitely hiding behind my microphone right now.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. So
go with your next pick here, Kyle.
So we'll go on to number 5 on my list, and that would be the man, the myth, the mullet, Zachary LaRue.
Yes.
He does have epic hair. We're from Kentucky, and Billy Ray Cyrus is from here. So if we know anything, it's a mullet. So
I don't have epic hair.
I used to, not anymore.
But
enough
about his hair. You can tell it is his first camp, but the effort is there. The effort is there on every play. They had him on a line with Tomasino and Afanasyev, and they looked good. I mean, he didn't end up with an assist, but he was pretty instrumental in the setup of the plays for Afanasyev and Tomasino scoring. So that's something really good to look forward to. It's not always the box score that's everything.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's a big statement to give a young player like him who just got drafted. You're going to go on a line with two prospects who are top prospects in the pool. You just got drafted. You weren't even the top overall pick of the draft class. You were the second pick. And Carl Taylor is going to put you on the top line with Tomasino and Afanasyev, who are two top prospects in this pool. That's a really big deal there.
They're fast tracking that dude, man. I'm telling
you. Yes. And he did a good job. Like I was kind of saying in the previous segment, Kyle, and I'll see if you want to agree with me on this. And you kind of already said it, but I totally agree with you. He didn't score a goal. He didn't like do anything that you see in the box score right away. But he was out there and he was making things happen. and he was not shying away from the action. He lived up to his reputation out there. And he did take he took a penalty, didn't he, towards the in the Tampa
Bay
game?
Yeah, he took one penalty, and I'm not really sure it was what it was for. I remember the announcers were kind of confused as well.
Yeah, that was a Tampa Bay
broadcast.
They
thought it was on somebody else. So they were all kind of confused over the penalty. So
yeah. Well, if you think about, like you just said, about his reputation, if you remember on draft night, he had some pretty strong words about what kind of a player he was. And
he likes to go in the corner and dig the puck out.
That's right.
He's you can put anybody in the corner and put a puck in, and I'm coming out with it.
And I mean,
got to back that up.
And I like this pick from you, Kyle, because I feel like he kind of showed that in this prospect showcase. And I think me and Kyle, we were kind of interacting during the Tampa Bay game. We were kind of interacting on social media, and I remember telling you, "Yeah, I don't know if this is the setting to be like starting fights and getting agitating, you know."
Yeah.
And you were like, "There's always a time for this."
Yeah, I'm a bit of I'm a Goon fan, so
we gotta get you a Zachary LaRue jersey like ASAP right now.
Oh, if he gets 66, this sweater right here will have a 66.
Yeah, we need a we know what to get Kyle Perkins for Christmas.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
That happens,
you know what he's got to do, man? He's got to go pick out the biggest dude in the yard and pick a fight. Show dominance.
Yeah. All right, well,
he's got to go knock out Chara.
Sure. Oh, well, good luck with that.
Trenton already did it. Yeah, Kyle, Trenton already did it.
He didn't knock him out. He barely buckled his knees, but still right. Amazing. Well, anyway.
All right.
So moving on. We'll go on to probably one of the more underrated stories of all the Pred prospects, and that's Devin Cooley. Yes. Devin Cooley is quietly a very good goalie. He's nothing spectacular to watch per se, but he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's just a clean, good goalie. And for that reason, I think he has the backup spot to Connor Ingram in Milwaukee locked up at this point. I don't think Vomachka has shown enough to overtake Cooley in that spot. Vomachka has played okay, but Cooley has played really, really well. Even with how bad the defense was in front of him in the Tampa game, he didn't really allow much in that first
the score close.
Period and a half. Yeah, he kept it close. It was
up until
was
when he
game.
Got brought out. He eventually got brought out of the game for Vomachka. Because they want to see both goaltenders play. Like, he didn't pull out because of bad play. He got pulled out because you're trying to see both goaltenders. He played well up until that point. I want to say the score was 3-2 when he got pulled out.
Oh,
I might be
so.
Wrong on that, but I thought it was 3-2.
I believe so. That he's a sound goalie. He's, like I said, he's nothing.
He did what he had to do to earn that spot in Milwaukee.
I don't know that he'll ever come up to being an NHL goalie, but I believe he'll end up being at least a solid AHL guy, if not an NHL backup.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, he's a come through college and everything else. So that's not a bad landing spot.
And that's really what these prospect games are all about. It's not all about, are you going to be in the NHL? 100%. Like, these guys are literally battling for their careers, and it's not always pretty. It's not always a high salary, but these guys are playing the sport they love. And yeah, of course they want to end up in the NHL and win a Stanley Cup. That's every competitor's goal, but they also want to play the sport they love. And so you take a guy like Devin Cooley, he really performed at a high level this past weekend to the point where, yeah, you got to think about he could put himself in the AHL in Milwaukee. And so kudos to him, props to him. He had a really, really strong showing in these games so far.
Yep.
Very impressive. All right, on to the next one.
This is the third pick, one, right?
Yes, sir. This is number three. And this one kind of come out of left field for me because I follow a lot of the Russian prospects. I follow Askarov.
You're all about the KHL. You're all about it. I see you out there
awesome.
Sharing it.
Yeah, I
love watching the Russian games. They're a circus. But watch a KHL game just for the music. It will freak you out what they play in those arenas. But anyways, Juuso Parsonen.
Yes.
I haven't got to watch a whole lot of his. I know on the future, he shares several of his highlights and his updates. I did not realize his puck handling was as good as it is. There was a play, I can't remember if it was the Tampa game or the second game. I'm pretty sure it was the Tampa game.
I think it was too. If I know what you're talking about, if I know where you're going with this.
Whenever he carried the puck in like Yost and went around the back of the net with one arm out, holding two defenders off and stick handling with one hand. And
it almost generated a goal.
Yes, it created a very good high danger scoring chance. And I was very impressed with him. He just looks poised. He's played in an adult league over in Sweden. Mm-hmm. So he plays for a Skellefteå.
It's Liga. I know it's Liga.
It's in the Liga
in Finland.
But he played extremely well, and just his puck handling ability. And I'm kind of embarrassed that I know so little about him. After watching him play like that, I'm definitely gonna have to.
We never seen him. So,
it kind of takes a full-time job to follow all these prospects, honestly.
I do not know how some people do it. It's like really closely.
That's why we lean on people like On the Future, who's been on the podcast in a previous episode. We lean on experts like that to help us out. So, Juuso Parsonen, he looks like the type of player where he was almost – playing a little bit he was outmatching what he was playing with. No disrespect to the people he was playing with, but he looked like he was used to playing. Because you got to think, these overseas leagues, even in Finland, not just Russia, but even in Finland, I mean, these are professional leagues.
Oh, yeah.
And so you take a player like Parsonen, he is a young man, he's a young kid, and he's already playing in those types of leagues. He comes over here. And, you see how he was skating. I said, dare I say, Roman Josi-like, and that's instantly what it reminded me of, the play that Kyle's talking about, where he brought it into the zone. He had defenders chasing him to get the puck back, and he's just holding them off. I wish I remember the player that almost scored the goal. I don't want to be wrong on it.
LaRue. Because he was centering LaRue and maybe Mismatch that game.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
But he set up a scoring play for sure. Like, and those are the types of things that Roman Josi does all the time. Difference is Roman Yossi's a defenseman, and sometimes we get a little upset because Josi kind of outskates his teammates and kind of puts the defense in a bad situation. Whereas Parsonen's a center.
Yep.
And so, you got to be excited about what Parsons is bringing into it.
I think he could end up being a solid, like a third line center
down the road. We're talking like maybe at least what are we thinking? Like at least like maybe two more seasons. I would have to look at his contract and where he's at on it. He's another down the road promising prospect where down the road you feel really excited about him.
Yep. So we'll go on to, and I don't tell a lot of people this, but I'm telling everybody this right now, my favorite prospect in the entire Preds prospect pool.
Okay.
And that is Yegor Afanasyev.
Yes.
That kid. So
well, guess what? You and Chad are peas in a pod. Cause that's his favorite prospect.
Yeah, we're peas in a pod, man. Cause I've been saying this for a while now, ever since, almost since he was drafted, honestly.
Yep.
I've been like just can't get enough of this guy.
To start off with his personality, he's just, you can't not like this kid. He's a big goofball, but he's like 6'3", 6'4", and 220.
Awesome.
But my big thing is, you watched him over the last couple of years when he was in junior, before he went over to the K and played last year and everything else. He has grown into his frame. He looks like he's put on a good 10, 15 pounds He just looks more into his frame, and he's not afraid to use it. And I'm surprised at the speed he's picked up. He's not the fastest guy on the ice. He's not Tomasino fast, but the kid can move for somebody his size.
Yes.
And he is
his shot too, man.
His shot is killer. He goes to Ovi's office and likes to slap him from there too. Yeah,
like to hear that.
So, I mean, he's a man. He looks like he doesn't look like a kid out there. It looks like a full grown man instead of a prospect.
All you really want to see out of Afanasyev right now is you want to see him kind of like round out his game a little bit more, but that's expected at a player his age. He still has never played 1 minute of AHL hockey yet, which we said in the previous segment that me and Rich both kind of feel like it's going to feel easy for him getting the AHL after getting KHL experience already.
AHL for him is going to be like it was for Tomasino last year.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Afanasyev, he's not that high-end scoring talent, but he's going to body people and kind of have his way with a lot of them.
I think he's going to pile up a lot of assists down in Milwaukee, honestly. Yeah. I think he's going to.
I do, too.
It depends on how much Tomasino plays down there, obviously. But I could see Afanasyev leading the team in points, honestly.
Yeah.
That's entirely possible. That's entirely possible, depending on who's down and who's up.
Yes, exactly. And we don't know how this roster is going to look. We don't know who's going to get called up and who isn't going to get called up with this team, especially.
I do not envy trying to make that roster decision.
Yeah, right.
There's a whole lot.
Give us your top pick, Kyle.
All right. I think everybody knows who the top pick is, and that is Phil Tomasino. He's an NHL talent. It's so obvious. And I want to bring attention to one thing. And this Anne from OTF, you can follow her at Ann_Mama on ice. She's an awesome lady. She covers the Preds. And she was at the practice whenever they first came into rookie camp. Mm-hmm. So they practice and everybody's rushing off the ice and everybody's all excited. And she posted three pictures, and I'll retweet one of them again right here in just a minute. So if you want to jump on Twitter when you hear this, you'll see it again. And it's instead of leaving, Tomasino goes and grabs a bucket, and he goes and kneels down and is picking all the pucks up out of the net.
I saw that picture you posted.
That is leadership. On a team that he wears no letter, on this prospect team, he has no letter. He's not a C. He's not an A. But that's leadership. That's maturity, especially for a kid who's 19, 20 years old. His skating, his puck handling, his wrister, the kid is one of the best forwards that has ever came up through the national system.
It's really got captain written all over it.
Absolutely. Yeah, he'll wear a letter someday. I don't know if he'll wear a C. That's a hard one to call, but he'll definitely wear a letter at some point in his career. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't surprise me if he does wear a C.
Yeah. I'm seeing Ann K's tweet here. Yeah. And Ann K is awesome. Like, you need to be following her at Ann_Mama on ice. She writes for On the Forecheck and On the Future. Yeah. Last off the ice and helping to gather pucks. Class act, Tomasino. And it shows Tomasino helping to pick up the pucks after a practice. Yeah, I mean, that's stuff that doesn't normally get noticed. But, that's kind of stuff.
And I talked to Ann about it, and we were of the same opinion. That's something you see out of Ekholm. And we know what kind of leader he is to this team and how much he means to him. So it's good to see a younger player that's already starting to kind of display those tendencies.
Yeah. Yep. That's a great top pick.
Yeah. So we've talked about it before. And as a welcome to you, we're going to ask you this question.
Oh, no.
We've already talked about it. Do you see Philip Tomasino on the roster opening night, October 14th?
God, $1 million question. Hold on. Let's preface this. Not what would you do, Kyle Perkins?
Yes.
What do you think John Hines will do?
There you go.
Ooh.
That's what we do when we talk about it. We're like, ooh.
The top six is crowded.
Yeah.
So do you
It's the third line.
Gotta be third line.
If he is up, he's going to be on the third line. Are you doing him any good putting him on the third line?
And that's another question. I look at Nick Cut. Yeah, that's a good point too. We didn't look at it from that angle. What kind of good are you doing him, burying him? He's not going to get a lot of minutes down there. That's a really good point, Kyle. I look at Nick Cousins. Nick Cousins is the only player that I'm like, but Nick Cousins also brings you that goon style that you love, Kyle.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's really hard to find room for him, but you want him on there. Who the hell do you take out, though?
You're really bottlenecked. I'd hate to see him down on the third line. And another thing is, do you play him at center or do you play him at right wing?
I would put him on a wing, but that's just me. I don't think he's ready for center just yet.
I would agree. I think he needs to start at wing. Definitely.
Where you put him, I don't know, man.
Tell us, Kyle Hines. Where is he going?
I think he starts the season in Milwaukee.
Yes. Agreed. And I think it's going to be one of those things where if the team like struggles or if there's an injury, but if the team's really struggling badly and there's a certain player who's just the coach's outline, he's definitely right there on deck to get called up. And I think it's going to be a matter of time. We're going to be waking up every day looking at those projected lineups, waiting for that tweet that's going to get like 1,000 likes and retweets from Brooks Bratton or Adam Vinion or one of those Preds insiders. They're going to put it out there. Phil Tomasino is projected in the lineup tonight. It's going to get like so many freaking retweets that it's going to blow up my Twitter page.
Absolutely. I think he will start in Milwaukee, but I think he will start in Nashville before the end of November.
All right. That's a bold prediction I can get behind right there.
I think he will. I'm not going to say he'll be full time, but I believe he'll make a start at least before the end of November in Nashville.
There you go.
Especially if they get off to a rough start. I think he's definitely coming up.
You just look at the Preds roster. I mean, you got Luke Cunningham in there. You're not going to take him out. We're really high on him. You've already re-signed all these veterans, or you've got veterans who you're not going to move out. If Granlund didn't get re-signed, there's an opening possibly for Tomasino. But you're not going to bench Granlund after you just re-signed him to a four-year deal. So Granlund's in there. You got Matt Duchene. You're not going to bench him. It's just there's no room for him right now. Cody Glass. Mm-hmm. We talked about Cody Glass. I can't see you take – Cody Glass has a lot of upside and has already played in the NHL. So you're probably not going to move him out for Tomasino just yet. So if Cody Glass really struggles, here's my inside track to Kyle's prediction if it comes true. Cody Glass maybe struggles. Maybe he's not ready for regular NHL minutes. Tomasino takes Cody Glass's spot, maybe.
That's very possible. Because I feel like they're going to end up putting Glass at a wing just because at the moment there's so many centers. You've got Johansson, Duchene, Granlund.
Sissons.
And Sissons, but Sissons going to be your fourth line guy.
Definitely.
So
yeah, if you look at Tomasino last year for the Wolves, 29 games, 32 points.
He's
going to tear.
Haven't seen anything like that in a long time in the AHL. No. From what everyone was saying, it's crazy.
I think it's going to be impressive
for a player's first AHL season, like as a rookie in the AHL. They've never seen anything like
that. And more than just a rookie. He is the youngest to do it because he only got to play in the AHL because the OHL didn't have a season and they let him come in as an underager. So not only was he doing things that are just ridiculous, he was doing them in an underage year.
Yeah.
Yep. So he's a bad dude. He really is.
That is a hell of a way to wrap up the first inaugural edition of Perks Picks. Philip Tomasino leads the first edition of Perks Picks. We look through the Preds prospects tonight. Guess what? Next week's episode, if I'm doing my math right, the next episode, we're going to be reacting to some preseason Predators hockey. And next week starts our 2 week an episode per week episode. So we're going to be back on Thursday starting next week, not this coming Thursday, but the next week. We're going to be giving you 2 episodes a week. So get ready for that. Kyle Perkins, Perks Picks is going to be every Monday, as long as schedule permits it. But either way, we will bring Perks Picks to you every week on a Catfish and Ice episode, ranking the top picks that Kyle has from that week of Predators hockey. So we can't wait to bring that to you. Thanks for listening to episode 67, presented by DraftKings, part of the Hockey Pop. Now we're good. And Kyle Perkins, we'll see you next week. It's right here, folks. We got Preds hockey back, so it's awesome to see. And we will see you next week.